You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to Scott Talks today. We really appreciate you guys. Before Mario and I get to chatting it up, I wanted to share a spoken word artist with you. I wanted to share a piece called Chapters, done by an artist named Blue Nile. She's a friend of mine. I know her as Nicole Yiannakopoulos. Nicole is a musical artist, a poetess, artivist, actor, speaker, writer, and healer. She's also a Reiki master and transformation coach. She has a company called Rooted in Power. You can find her at BlueNileWorld.com. That's BlueNileWorld.com. Blue has been an artist since she was born, but she's been traveling the world since her teens. She's performed at the BET Awards, the Grammys. She's also performed with artists like Diddy, Jay-Z, Ja Rule. She's been in LA since 2009, where she's gotten into choreography and acting. She is working on a book right now called Traumatized Silent. That's what this piece comes from. I think the title speaks for itself. This piece moved me the first time I heard it, and I felt really excited to share this with you guys. So I hope you guys enjoy this as much as I have. And Blue Nile, thank you so much for sharing this piece with us. We are so happy to bring it to the world. And enjoy the show.
Growth like lotus petals blooming in the mud. Patronized by patriarchy. As a woman, I rise above. Fear of acceptance. Will I be loved? As a queer human, used to hiding, when I give myself permission to come out, will I be judged? Chapters, seasons. My inner child holds other people's demons and a grudge. I want to free her. I want to be her. I give myself permission to be loved. They go low, we go high. Thank you, Michelle Obama, to see a face that looks like mine. You teach me honor and how I should love my future daughter. The childhood chapter, feeling lost, no father. Left alone with unsafe people by my mama. Neglected, abused, assaulted, I chose to run. Run, lotus flower, bloom, bloom, bloom in the mud. The teenage chapter. Terribly scared. How do I learn to trust? I do not feel my own. I was taught my body should be sold. Street life, drugs, and lust. Chapter rock bottom. Breakdowns and overdoses. Internal combust. Consumed by fire, like the phoenix. Run, lotus flower, run. Road to happiness. I took the scenic. Watching my brothers and sisters die. Without life tools, how can we beat this? Ancestral trauma, the odds stacked up against me. I have a higher power. I am a rose that grew from concrete, watered with tears and blood. Thankful for new chapters. The next one I choose to stay. Stay in my power. Love myself. I no longer have to run.
First of all, I want to thank you. That was just fascinating. I really enjoyed both your movies that you sent us, and I've enjoyed you over the years growing up. It's really pretty crazy to sit here in front of you and be like, oh, we're going to talk.
Yeah.
So thank you for coming in and doing this. And I really admire your relationship with your father. It's really impressive to see how you embrace who he is and what he's given you. The first things that I heard were respect, admiration, imitation, and then you know, they say imitation is the finest form of flattery in the world. And I think that you've taken what he introduced you to another level in a time where it's really important. Like, so earlier you talked about any teenager, if you give them blue, they'll want yellow, and red, they'll want green. Was there a time where you were like that with your dad? And then was there a time that you saw what he was doing was important and you decided, this is what I need to do?
Mark Twain has a great quote where he says, all my life, my father was an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And at 21, he was a genius, meaning that I got to a certain place and I understood what he was doing. But I cannot understate, and it's interesting that it really lives inside me, how important my mom was too. And that if I had to encapsulate what my dad would be about, would be get it done, make it happen, don't make excuses, be right, you know, put it on the screen, make it happen. And my mother's thing would be a good person, be good to the planet.
Yeah, that yin, your mother reflected.
Yeah, so my mother's the environmental side, and my father's the revolutionary sort of get it done side. And so I think if I took those two together, it would be put out a message that's healthy for us, be cognizant of the planet and raising consciousness, but do it in the way my dad would do it.
Get it done. Inclusivity
Absolutely. So I think being a kid that's multiracial was a big advantage because I went to, you know, like I said, Altamont with my mom. I went to the Panther meetings with my dad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had to love everybody. I had to sort of see it with the bigger zeitgeist. You know what I mean? So I think that's been super helpful for me. Again, a different soul would react differently. That's just the way I took it. But back to your question, absolutely, man. My dad, I'll never forget my sister. My brother and I were all with my dad one summer, and I'm the oldest. And he went to my sister and he said, you know, you should stay limber. You've got a great shape, but I would pay for dance lessons. It's really good for you to stretch your muscles out and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, dance is a great way to do that. And she said, nope, I'm cool. He went to my brother, and my brother was already starting to smoke. And he's cool. My half-brother, he's French. I'm the ugly American. He's very cool. And he goes to Max. He says, si tu veux, je peux acheter some weights for you, and you can work out. And he said, non, c'est dégueulasse, je veux pas. I don't want it. I'm cool. And then he came to me, and he said, so you too. I could get you some weights if you want to work out. You got to start getting physically ready. You guys are a great place to do that. And I said, thanks, Dad. That'd be great. Now, they thought I was the butt kisser. But what they didn't understand was I thought, I want to be independent. The sooner I get big enough to kick this fool's ass, the sooner I don't have to listen. What's the downside? If he buys me the weights and I don't use them, it's a nice paperweight. If he buys me the weights and I do use them, there you go. So I didn't just look at the message. I mean, some people look at the packaging, right? And say, well, it's not in a good package. I don't want to take the message. Sometimes the message comes in a crappy packaging. But the message that's inside of it is like my dad said in my little thing there, failure ain't nothing but opportunity and work clothes. Resistance ain't nothing but opportunity and work clothes. And you know, luck is preparation meets opportunity. So I had these little Melvinisms. I was like, oh, that's something to it. Luck is preparation meets opportunity. I wasn't lucky when I got New Jack. I was prepared, and I got the opportunity. But I had worked for it. I've been directing for years, 21 Jump Streets, Wise Guys, Top of the Hill with Stephen Cannell, all those different things. And because I was also acting at the time and behind enemy lines, I just didn't make a big deal about it. Why?
Well, and you've stuck true to that message. You haven't deviated, and I really appreciate the passion of that. We have a friend who's a director, storyteller, and he is so in that genre that at times I'm kind of like, come on, dude, do something different. And he's like, nope. He's just and he doesn't apply himself to things just because he thinks it's going to bring him some success. And I really admire, you know, like I grew up in the South. I had a very biased family, and I had a couple of experiences. My father, when he met Laura, completely shifted his perception, my idea of who he was, in an instant. Right. It had changed, you know, 39 years of who I thought this man was in a moment. And it feels like your father didn't wait that long to give you a message, to tell you what was important, and to have you pass it on. And I think that...
Well, he also put up with me, and what I mean by that, like, when I...
I did get to see him in your movie.
Oh, yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And here's the crazy thing. He put me in my first movie when I was two. And now he's not doing films anymore, and I put him in his last movie.
That How old is kid, your dad now?
He's 87.
He's 87.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He put me
is
in
he
my
proud
first
of you?
One. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But he said something to me once when we were getting ready to do Panther, and I'd done New Jack City, I'd done Posse, and he said, you know what I like, man? He said, you're not only, you're fun, you're smart, you're courageous.
Mm.
That we don't mind, we're going to get out there. You could do anything else with your power right now. But you want to make this film, and we're going to do this together and make people really think about why you can get drugs in the inner city like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what that's about. Why would they allow a whole community to be medicated? And when you look at the history of Panther and you go say, you know, well, here's the thing. If you medicate them, they don't vote. They don't think politically. They never get to the polls. And they shoot each other.
Mm-hmm.
The ghetto becomes a self-cleaning oven.
Yeah.
You know, if a drug dealer can find drugs, then why can't a cop?
Well, becoming aware of that whole thing has been something that happened later on in my life. I think being in Laura's family, hearing stories and talking and listening more has brought that so that I can even see films and stuff that's been made for years in a completely different
Isn't that
manner.
Great?
Yeah, it's
Isn't
really,
that great?
Really amazing. I really appreciate it. And so even hearing where you come from today gets me excited to go back and look at things that I might have seen from a completely different perspective.
Right.
Why is the need for this, right? And now I understand more why the need is there.
Right.
We're going to take just a quick break to tell you about a cool new product that Scott and I discovered. And we'll get back to our guest's amazing Only One story in just a minute.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
And here's the thing. The challenge is we face are evolving very quickly because we're affecting the planet very quickly. And I believe this. I remember when I was doing Roots, when they asked me to do Roots, I started to break you down. I said, well, I don't really want to do a movie about slavery, but I'll do one about empowerment. Mm-hmm. And they said, we want that. And as I was looking at it, the same mentality, the bully mentality, that will be a mentality that leads to racism is next door to sexism, is right around the corner right. from classism
it is, right?
and lookism. And that's right around the corner from the wholesale destruction of nature. So what you're seeing to some degree is the colonizer blowback right now. You know, when you look across Europe, what's happening with the whole nationalist thing and shutting our borders is that these people were used to colonizing, and now you've got people of color rising up and women rising up, and it's, you know, it's like Custer's last stand culturally. Mm-hmm. But they're on the wrong side of not only history, I'm pretty sure we'll find out, but on the wrong side of what we're doing for the planet and to the planet. And so how we treat each other is related to how we treat our women, is related to how we treat our different classes, is related to how we treat the planet. There is a holistic connection to it.
I like to say that, like, in our lifetime, when I was a kid, mm-hmm. 3.5 billion. Now we're at 7 billion in one lifetime. Mm-hmm. So for the whole history of the planet,
yeah,
it took that long to get 3.5.
We're close to 8 now.
And then, yeah, and close to 8 in 50 years. Yeah. The second thing that has occurred is the exchange of information is beyond how anyone could ever imagine. Mm-hmm. So those ideas are being exchanged in a way that is starting to flood the old culture and the old ideas of how we got here.
Yeah. And hence the slogan, Make America Great Again. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to a time.
Right.
Let's rewind the clock and go back to a time pre-civil rights, which is the subtext of it.
And the last thing is that the predominant population is becoming the minority, correct. Right? Your family and how you speak about everything being, that's more common now than it was 15 years
ago. Look at commercials. Did you, mm-hmm. I mean, look at how many multi-culti families do you see now in commercials, even gay couples in commercials.
It's changing fast. Gender identity.
In certain states.
Is that in certain states?
Yeah.
But I think the message is coming. It's happening. I think we're in the middle of something much bigger, but I really think it's important to continue to shift the narrative, to change the story. And your short documentary, Bring Your A-Game, not only teaches the obvious character in the movie, it teaches the opposite crowd how, I don't know the proper term, but how incorporating a system which favors a particular race exists.
Right.
And it kind of de-evolves that in
well, here's
it's
the thing.
A really important work.
The minute you conceptually say, I want to work with underprivileged kids, you have to say, well, then who are the overprivileged kids?
Who are the privileged, right?
And how do the overprivileged kids benefit from the inequity mm-hmm. of these underprivileged kids? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I have to see my part in the system.
Yeah, you have to see your part in the system.
If I support a system that favors a particular majority, then I am part of the problem.
You know what? One of the best, thinking about being a force for good and saying, well, what does that look like? And I know we're running out of time, so now I'm just talking to you because you're freaking interested.
That's what we do here. That's all.
I had a buddy of mine who went off and he was working in water purification, and he found this lovely tribe of people that had a lot of problems with dirty water, and kids were getting dysentery, and he showed them a special mechanism to purify their water, and he brought it to them. He felt really good about that, and he came back and we talked about it. He said, yeah, I showed them how to purify their water, and now they're doing it. It's great. 3 years later, he went back. The tribe that was about 700 and something had almost doubled, and now they were chopping down the rainforest,
right,
and burning rainforest to grow other stuff. And I said, and he thought about that. I said, so playing God is a tricky thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it, you know, you think about the Malthusian poor laws, right? That a lot of the early sort of industrial stuff was based on Malthusian poor laws. Malthus, you think about Charles Dickens, the whole time of chimney sweeps and before they put child labor laws into place. Those were all based on Malthus. And the thing was, you should not give poor people money, because if you gave poor people money, they made more poor people. Mm-hmm. If you gave them clean water, they made more poor people. What you had to do was tie it to some sort of raise in consciousness, right? So as we talked about it, so if you want to change something, if you give a guy who's never had money and he's financially illiterate a couple $1 million, and they do this test with Lotto all the time, he'll go fake tits for his girlfriend, a new car, and by then he'll be broke again. But if you let someone mentor someone, they then model behavior that leads to a different result.
Mm. Financial competence.
So whether it's financial literacy or whatever it is. If you really want to make a difference, like a real difference, mentor someone young towards getting a better result, in particular young women. Mm. Mm. If you what we found, my daughter was setting up schools in Malawi, and my eldest daughter, and is that if you educate young girls, they tend to want to have less kids, have them later, and more educate freedom. Their kids. So you almost get a 2-for-1 factor. Not true all the time.
Well, I have a 20-year-old daughter who's doing exactly the same thing in Bali. She's building schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
providing opportunities for people who don't have opportunities.
There you go. Yeah, so now the trick to that, the other side of that, is that we know, as Frantz Fanon says, that the most powerful colonizers left behind the schools and the churches to socialize the oppressed to the oppressor's point of view. Mm-hmm. Like I was saying, at Columbia, in economics, I learned the price of that chair, but it never took into account what nature was doing for free.
Right.
So you have to become truly educated, and that means become free culturally enough to be a critical thinker and say, whoa, I've learned to read, now I've got to read to learn, right? I've got to go, oh, wow. So I see how this was built in a way to disenfranchise these folks, that this grandfather clause meant that folks who didn't have a grandfather who could vote, they couldn't vote. That this redlining meant that whole swaths of people of color couldn't get loans, even GI loans, to improve their plight. That we burnt down Black Wall Street. Then did you go, oh my goodness. So then you start to see things in a bigger way and understand that education is key, but it's also tricky stuff. You have to sort of really look at what's at the core of it. Does that make sense?
Oh,
absolutely.
God,
yeah, I think part of the problem is that a lot of people these days will seek information that supports the way they feel instead of seeking all the information that's available, because they believe that the value of opinion has some something to do in the world. But when the reality is, like I was saying with her family, one of the things I've learned is to listen more.
Yeah,
to both sides of
listen
the story.
More, talk less.
Yeah, so that I can. Because I absolutely want to defend who I am, where I come from, and my story.
Right.
But when I open myself up to more story, I learn a lot more about the whole picture.
Right.
The last thing I'll say is I love the barter system. I think it should have never gone away. I've been saying it since I was a kid.
Interesting.
I think it has value, need for need as opposed to want for need.
Yes.
And I think it's
my
really
mother always said, what you have, what you take, more than what you need, is only a measure of your greed.
Yeah, right. That's powerful. Thank you, Mario. That's dope.
Thanks for having me on.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Scott Talks on The Only One in the Room. Don't forget, subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you like to get your podcasts. We have new episodes for you every Tuesday, and we'd love to hear how you're enjoying the show by leaving us a rating or a review on iTunes. If you have a question or an only one story and you want to be featured in the Dear Laura segment, you can email us at lcr.theonlyoneintheroom@gmail.com. See you soon.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.